This is side number one of tape number one, the only tape. This is an interview with Commander Harold Majors, who was brother-in-law of Frank Johnson, who was the communications officer in the San Francisco Division and was the communications officer who had so much to do with communications with Southside Radio, NMC, with the Itasca and Emilia Earhart thing in 1937. And this is a taped interview, and it's self-explanatory. I'll rewind this other tape, and then we'll go ahead and copy it on here. Here we go. Interview with Lieutenant Commander Harold E. Major and his wife at their home at 686 North Mayfair Avenue, Daly City, California, 94014. Phone number is area code 415-756-5296. And this is Wednesday, the 30th of March, 1977. And it's about a quarter after five. We're in the living room of their home here. And Lieutenant Commander Harold E., is that correct? What's the E for?
Edward.
Helen. Hi, Frank Johnson.
No, this is Harold's sister.
My sister.
Your sister. Oh, I'm very sorry.
Her maiden name was Major.
I see. And she was married to Frank.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And her first name was?
Georgia.
Georgia. G-E-O-R-G-I-A?
Correct.
Georgia. And they were married about?
1934.
No, it must have been about 32.
32, pardon me.
About 32.
Yeah.
I noticed from the picture it was taken in 44 that she looked about 10 years old, the oldest girl. And her name, let me get this straight.
Evelyn.
And then there's another girl.
Georgia.
Okay, did they call her Georgia?
That's right.
And she must have been born about 36 then.
No, she's the third child.
She's the third child, the boy older?
The boy is older. Buddy's the baby, surely.
Yeah.
That's right.
And she looks about only 2 years younger in this picture.
Little Georgia was in kindergarten in 1944.
And she would have been born 6 years earlier, so that'd been
36, 37, 38, around there someplace. 37 or 38.
Yeah, probably, well, right there between, because we were married in 1939, and Buzzy was in December of 39, and Buzzy was a new baby.
Buzzy, B-U-Z-Z.
Well, it's Frank Kennedy Jr.
Oh,
probably,
I see.
We call him Buddy.
Now, let me get Frank's name right. It's Frank.
Right, Kenneth Johnson.
Kenneth.
Mm-hmm. We always call him Ken.
We always call him Ken, sure.
Okay, Frank Kenneth Johnson. And so the first girl was named Evelyn, but the second girl was named Georgia after her mother, and the boy was named Frank Kenneth Jr.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
she was living at home with us.
She was living at home when she met Frank?
Yes.
And so it had nothing to do with you?
Well, not actually.
Well, it did, it really, because the Haida was patrolling the boat races on Lake Washington. And Georgia went out.
She came out as my guest.
As your guest, and that's when she met
Ken. That's when she met Ken.
And he was on the Haida.
He was on the Haida.
Well, was he a Lieutenant J.G. at the time?
He was J.G. at the time.
So the picture I took out of the album when he was dressed in uniform then would have been probably taken on the Haida then.
Yeah. No, not that.
That particular
not
picture.
Not that particular picture. No, he was in the Navy then.
Oh, that was a Navy dress.
That was a Navy dress.
Okay.
So you could tell by the device.
That picture of him in the on the Haida.
Yeah.
Okay, so that picture must have been taken. Well, he was Lieutenant J.G. in the Navy.
Yeah, he just went over to the Coast Guard. I guess I think it was 1924 probably when he went in the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard was expanding on the
rum runners.
Well,
no,
the rum running didn't start until '30s.
Yeah,
but they started expanding for some reason there in 24. Or I don't know.
Well, for him to have been a Lieutenant J.G., he must have been a college graduate.
He was. He was a college graduate. He never been the J.G. without that. That's
okay.
Certain.
Now, in those pictures, He didn't seem to be too heavy then. I mean, it must have been during World War II or just about then when he started putting on.
No, he was.
Yeah, he put on a little weight before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I never remember Kenneth being other than plump.
No, he was poorly from.
Uh-huh.
From we ever met him, but like you say, it was in the 30s there, and that's when he started getting kind of. Spread out a little bit.
Okay, so he was fairly heavy jowled and heavy
right.
heavy
yeah.
face
oh, yeah.
and
yeah, he was well built
and stocky for a long
right.
long period of time.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
He had a large frame.
Do you remember if he spoke back in those days?
No.
I don't know. I remember the river spoke.
Yes, he did later on.
Oh, he did later on after. I mean, earlier.
He smoked to keep Georgia Company smoking, and he was a riot.
Oh my God.
He said he never smoked.
He looked so silly with a cigarette in his hand.
He was like this.
Now that was, but this was after.
Oh, many years later.
Okay. So he never smoked then.
Later,
then.
No.
So I can't have him picking up and lighting a cigarette.
No.
Apple pie. Remember?
He loved apple pie.
He loved it. He said it was the only kind of pie that nobody could ruin.
No good, better, and best, but it was all good.
Well, he was a very intelligent person. Mathematically, you know, when the war broke out there at Pearl there, he was sent to Salt Lake City to take her up as navigator, take her up to the Bering Sea.
Now, which ship was it?
Salt Lake City.
The Salt Lake City.
Cruiser. Mm-hmm. That was a 10,000-ton cruiser.
That's back in the Navy, then.
Yeah, well, that's when...
But he was
wartime,
on temporary duty, was he?
Well, no, he was the Coast Guard in the Navy then.
I see. That was during...
That was just temporary duty on the Salt Lake City.
Well, now, he found himself in the Coast Guard, and... In the time that I'm talking about here, he must have lived here in the San Francisco area, and he'd only been married for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and Evelyn had just been born for a year or two or three.
He was transferred from the Haida to the Shoam.
That's when you and your mother used to
be down there. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I'm trying to reconstruct
when
that.
Evelyn was born.
That was in the early 30s, yeah.
They lived on...
Hawthorne, whatever, Pinecrest, up.
Over
up
by,
the
over by the El Rey Theater, you know, where that is.
No, but I'll find out. Mm-hmm. He lived on Pinecrest?
Pinecrest.
Yeah.
And that would be circa the mid-1930s then, or when he
was
here?
Well, that's when Evelyn was first born in 1937. When she was born in 1934, I remember that very distinctly. But I have a myself there holding her as a little baby. My mother and I used to drive down from Seattle to visit.
Boy, that was quite a trip in 34.
Yeah, it took 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Wow. Now, when did you drive the coast ever, or did you always come 99? How was Frank raised?
He has a sister down in
That's all it's available.
Governor Ross Stanford.
I don't know that. I can't answer that. Oh, he went to college in Oregon, I know. I remember that.
Do you think it was Oregon State or Oregon?
No,
University of Oregon.
Evelyn went to Whitman.
Well, that's in Washington, right?
No, not Whitman.
Midville?
Sorry. We haven't thought of these things.
No.
Sorry, forgive me.
That's all right.
Was it a very small college?
No, it was regular. I think it was regular state college you went to.
Corvallis. That's Oregon State.
Oregon State. That's
yeah,
what he
Corvallis.
Went to. Yeah, that's what he went to.
That's boy, it. That must have been back around 1920.
It had to be back. I don't know
22.
How far back, but it must have been way back there, though.
Because he was born around 1900.
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he must have been around 1920. Do you any idea what he majored in at all?
I knew you were going to bring that one up, but I don't know what the answer is.
Maybe it's.
Oh, I would think it was mathematics.
Must have been engineering or mathematics.
Engineering, that's what it is.
Civil engineering, perhaps. Engineering. That was very popular.
Yeah.
It could be. Civil engineering.
It was engineering, yeah.
But
that's
I just remember him as being a great mathematician anyway.
No,
so
he had a degree in engineering.
I know he did, but mathematics was law, engineering too.
Okay. Well, now, good, that's great, because I can tie that in very well. I can imagine someone going to Corvallis for 4 years, because that was only 50 miles.
Ken was a very private.
Well, it was a different story in those days. See, I was in Elizabeth. I was a yeoman, third class, when all this transpired, they first met. And officers were in the elite, you know, and enlisted men were two steps below.
Right.
I mean, you never went into the wardrobe or anything like that, or the officer's country. It was kind of a class deal.
Yes, but even after he married Georgia, he was always a very private person.
He was very conscientious about doing a good job.
Very much so.
Conscientious person I ever know.
Very much so.
Very much so.
Was he the type of person that would put in the long hours and do the hard work?
He did exactly that.
By the book.
All by the book. And this year, me, Earhart thing was down there. I remember we were down here. My mother and I were down here visiting them at the time. And he was practically going back and forth down that office all night long, or down to MJ?
Yeah, NMC.
NMC, yeah. NMC over there. I know I went down to him a couple times when he went down.
Go ahead, I'm just moving up a little closer. You were here at the time with your mother visiting then.
Yes.
Just
talk. It was just, we used to come down maybe twice a year and have a visit while we were here. That happened to be one of the times. Wasn't it in March or in the springtime?
There was two flights that she made. The one that he was really involved in when she disappeared, it was in July.
Oh, July, yeah.
Which would have been summer vacation for you, wouldn't it?
Well, no.
No,
well,
you
I was,
were.
I was in the Coast Guard.
You were in the Coast Guard, then.
Yeah, I was on the height of them. Yeah. I think they must have been here in San Francisco 3 or 4 years.
Did he ever talk about his work on the familiar things when you were here that you recall?
Oh, no, he never did. Not that I would remember or anything like that. If he did talk, he'd be talking about something way over my head anyway.
Well, he was right in the middle of it.
Oh, he was. He was right smack in the center as far as communication were concerned here in San Francisco.
Now, if I remember correctly, he was communications officer.
He was.
For the San Francisco division.
That's correct.
And he was right under Stanley Parker.
That's correct.
In regards to communications.
That's correct.
You don't, but just go ahead. He He wasn't spending an awful lot of time at home visiting with you then?
No, at that particular time, because he was pretty much on the go between telephone and going back and forth to the office and down to NMC.
Was he spent, you remember, was he spending time at NMC, Southside? That's where Putnam was most of the time,
well,
rather than being up at division headquarters.
That was actually under his direct jurisdiction at NMC, he being a communication officer of the district. So he did spend quite a bit of time at both the office and down at NMC. I mean, whenever they were putting in new equipment or something like that, he'd be there to supervising or overlooking the installation of it. Make sure it's done according to the way you wanted it done.
Was he hurting for sleep at all? Or?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think he
managed to get 5 or 6 hours a night anyway.
He was
a very strong person.
Yeah, he's very healthy. Very robust and healthy.
Indefatigable by nature? He just never seemed to get tired?
Mm. I would say so.
Well, he was a very dedicated person. But a very sensible person.
What was your mother's name?
My mother? Klansnik.
I'm sorry?
Klansnik.
How do you spell that?
K-L-A-N-S-N-I-C.
K-L-A-N-S-N-I-C. N-I-C.
From Austria.
Klansnik. And what was her first name?
Marie, M-A-R-I-E.
Marie.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't...
Because he'd never been a ladies' man. No,
I just don't know. I don't recall.
Obviously, so I think George
I don't
was
recall. No, he was pretty much of a man's man all the time.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can... at least know that he had his mother-in-law visiting him at the time.
Yeah, that's true.
And that just might add some realism to the portrayal.
Yes, that's what.
Got everything, everything happens all at once. Meteorologist, where my mother-in-law comes to visit.
Of course, we didn't bother him anyway, though. I mean, he went all about his...
Georgia entertained you, then, your sister.
Yeah, sure. We were talking.
Was she
maybe
your older sister?
Youngest.
Younger sister.
I have an older sister lives in Palo Alto.
Well, so far, beautiful. In fact, he didn't smoke, he didn't drink. He had nothing, he wasn't a complete teetotaler, right?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But he
no.
didn't even occasionally social drink to excess.
Never.
Never.
No,
I've,
he'd take a drink, but it wouldn't be much of a drink and it would last him forever. Like I say, if we could have apple pie and a cup of coffee, that would. And lots of times he would prefer coffee to having a drink with people, too.
Hold on.
Well,
I think it's...
Hey, let's not get me a saint here.
I
can't handle it.
We're portraying
he could get teed off the same as anybody else could, I suppose, but he had very good control of his temper if he did have...
it was for good reason.
Yeah, it had to be a good reason, too. That's true.
You know, like I say, he went by the book, and the only time he would get upset would be if people, and he was all gung-ho for his career, I mean, for the service, and he felt everyone else should be as dedicated. So if there was slipshod performance, why?
Oh, that's
that
one
didn't
thing.
Please him. Yeah,
he didn't go for slipshod.
No.
Or for anybody.
This is beautiful. Actually, we get into a little bit of this. I don't know whether we'll ever get into the book or not. I don't know the really part of the story, but he got into a little hassle.
Respect me. He wanted the thing done properly.
Well, he had a lot of responsibility. I don't blame him.
This is before anything went wrong with the Earhart thing. About 3 or 4 days before it all happened, there was a third-class radio operator on the ship by the name of Thompson, and he had a schedule with NMC, and he didn't keep the schedule, and when he's asked why, he gave some operator signal, which was a flip answer, and he didn't realize that Frank was right at the other end.
He was probably tapping the key on the other end.
Something to the effect to tell the old man to go jump or something, you know, and I'll call you when I can and let it go. That didn't suit. So he sent a message to the captain of the Itasca wanting a full explanation of why the schedule was not kept. And, of course, Leo Bellarch, who was chief radio operator, had nothing he could do but to put the man on report, and they held the captain's mast, and Commander Warner K. Thompson.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
He excused him because of the heavy workload. Yeah. Whatever, let it go like that. So the guy got out, got the captain's mast, and the captain accepted his excuse without punishment. But they were having some difficulty, and frankly, you want to know the truth, they were poking a little fun at Frank.
Yeah.
He got on to them because of a chirping sound on their T-16 transmitter. And San Francisco...
Blue-eyed.
Was a ladies' man, huh?
No,
nice
no.
looking. My father was a ladies' man.
Yeah.
Boy, just ask my mother.
I don't know. Georgia has her things in storage in New Jersey, and I don't know...
In New Jersey?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what of Kansas.
Is she remarried?
No.
Why is she living in Paris?
Well, with her daughter. Her young,
oh, I see.
Younger daughter. She married a Frenchman.
Oh, I see.
And she's living there with them. That's her, everything that she had when Ken died is storage in New Jersey.
They live there.
So she must occasionally get homesick and come back to visit Evelyn.
Oh, that must have been back in 44 or 45. I was only here 1 year before I went back to see again.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he died in 38.
Who?
Warner K. Thompson.
Warren K. Thompson.
Oh, Warner. He was a full commander in 37, and he was captain of the Itasca at the time in 37.
Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the same one.
We should be talking about the same one. Then.
No, because it was in 1944.
Well, he was a district commander, commodore. Didn't she call him the commodore?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I think we know.
No, this must be a different. There was another Warner K. Thompson, whose son.
Oh, Warren. This is Warren K.
Warren K.
W-A-W-R-E-N, Warren K. Thompson.
It may be his son. He's still alive. I know that his son is.
Oh yeah, it could be his son.
In fact, his wife's still alive.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about that. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise.
I understood. I think Juno was a division at that time, division headquarters.
That's right, it was.
I don't know what Commander Thompson was doing. He was the captain of the Itasca, and they were stationed in San Diego.
Right.
They went on a full temporary duty for this Line Island cruise, and they came back. And then right after that, in October of 37. I know he was at Port Angeles. I don't know what he was doing there, because I have a letter that he wrote to Admiral Weishi in...
was an air station there, but I don't... he wasn't on White Whale, was he?
No. No, he was strictly at the Black Shoe.
Yeah.
That was part of the problem. What he do about airplanes... You could sink submarines with it. Anyway, I understand that in 38 he was in Juneau. I don't know why or what reason. What would a full
38?
Commander...
Well, there was a ship stationed in Juneau in 38. Maybe he was on that. I don't think there's a district in 38 out there. Oh, wait, 38. Yeah, 38. I don't think that reorganization had gone through then.
It would have been a district office then, in 38. Is that correct? Or
I can't remember that it was a district office in 38.
Well, who did Ken answer to from Ketchikan?
That was...
To Juneau or to Seattle?
That's a long time ago.
I just don't remember. All of Alaska used to come under Seattle. That'd be the 13th district division.
There couldn't have been anything at Juneau then because you operated out of Seattle.
Yeah.
And I think Ken did too.
Yeah, we all operated out of Seattle. We had to go down to Seattle for our overhaul and everything else. It was just a ship that was stationed there.
Some sort of a
There was a cutter station in Juneau. I know that.
Okay, well, commander of the... Well, somebody's...
Tuscaloosa was up there then.
Well, anyway, he died. And, I can't remember whether it was McKay or... We said it was under tragic circumstances, and I have no idea. I've never been able to tie it down, how he happened to die. But he might have had a heart attack or... I don't know,
That can't be the same one that I know.
No, he was an older man, even in the 30s.
He died when he was up in Juneau?
He died in Juneau, I understood, in 38.
Do you remember anybody?
He was a full commander
at that time.
No, I was in the sand pumping division in the 13th district.
What gives with being sent up to Juneau or on Alaska? Being sent to Alaska almost a punishment officers?
No, absolutely not. We had a ship stationed in Juneau, and that was the only one. And then later they put the Morris up in Seward, and that's the one that... We were married in 1939 in Seward, Alaska.
Where did you go out of when you went down Alaska?
Well, we went down Alaska. It was on the hide out of Seattle for
out
6 months. We would go in April and come back in October, September. Same way the ships were open. They'd alternate. They'd go up there, too. But that was the Bering Sea. They call that the Bering Sea Patrol.
That was the old Northland.
The Bear and all those.
Which Parker used to be commander of way back.
Yeah, I got pictures of Northland in there. It's on that book.
Did you know that he wrote the code of the judicial code almost? I don't know exactly what you would call it.
Oh, he was pretty high up, I guess, in judicial matters.
He was the man up there in the Bering Sea area.
He was Bering Sea commander 1 year that we were there on the Haida, Stanley B. Parker. And he also had the... North Wind 1 year. The first year he had the North Wind, he was skipper of the North Wind. They still had their sails on it.
Oh, that wasn't any penalty going up there. No more than the weather ships when they'd go out to weather station. They don't do that anymore, but...
They do on the East Coast, yeah.
Yeah, I know they do back there, but
out on this coast. No, it wasn't any penalty.
It wasn't that kind of duty then, it was just... Just happened to draw that duty. I would consider San Diego, a rather nice berth,
Well, of course, that's when young people thought something like that was a challenge, and to have done it was, something that anybody that stayed around the state.
You never got around either in those years like you do now.
No.
How'd you end up in
Seward? Well, I was on the Morris, 125 footer at that time. I went there in 1938 from the district office in Seattle to the Morris.
How'd she get there?
She took a ferry boat. She came up. She got hitched.
I went up to Alaska. She came up. Then I made a trip back to Seattle on the ship. Married on Saturday, and I think the ship left on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's the best thing ever happened to you.
I came with him.
No, I came with him.
One of the officers gave me a stateroom.
It took 2 weeks to cross the Gulf of Alaska from Seward over to Cape, I can't remember the name of the Cape over there. Or Yetter.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rough crossing.
Oh, yeah. Alaska. I often thought of that, how lucky we were that the Canadians had that station up there so many years ago. What a place to set. To go there and just stay there, you got to be partly crazy.
Well, any of those there. Well, the stations are lousy, but that would be worse.
Terrible.
Playing up there. Boy.
Well, I've probably disrupted your dinner.
No,
okay, that concludes the interview with Frank Kenneth Johnson's brother-in-law, Mr. Majors, in Daly City, and he had an excellent career, Commander Majors did, in the Coast Guard, and was very helpful, and he did give me Commander Johnson's, Frank Johnson's eldest daughter's address in Seattle, and we'll try and finish up the interview and see if she knows of any of the things that he might still have or of any of the tales that he might have talked about, because during our conversation, it would have been most assured that Mr. Johnson would have had a lot to do with anything that came out of the San Francisco division as far as communications is concerned. It probably would have been written by him. Okay, that concludes the interview with Mr. Majors.